Good evening, Rabbosai. We're very honored today. I thought that in honor of the new cycle, we can't just start a new cycle without doing something about this in the most respectable way, in the most honorable way. We're therefore very honored and privileged that Rav Gaon Reb David Roberts has agreed to just say some divrei psicha in honor of the new cycle. Thank you very much for kindly agreeing to give you some of your very precious time.
The honor is all mine. Incredibly, what a privilege to you've finished a machzer and to start again and go through Mishneh Berurah. Tamidim Kesidram is an incredible, incredible thing. I'd like to just share with you just a few short divrei chizuk, perhaps. And the first thing is, we'll talk a little bit about some of the milas of what you're doing. Just a few of the milas of what you're doing. The Gemara says in a few places in Shas that when a person is niftah, he's asked a couple of questions. There are a few questions that you're asked. And one of the questions is, Kavato itim la Torah. Did you set aside, did you fix time to learn Torah? And Rav Moshe Shapira Shlita asks the obvious question. He says, what is special about these questions? Because a person has to give din v'cheshben for everything they've done in their lives, every word, every thought, every action. You've got to give din v'cheshben for everything. What is unique about these things? And he says an amazing idea, an incredibly important idea, and it applies absolutely to you. He says there are two types of question. Avada, definitely we're going to have to give din v'cheshben for everything that we've done. But first, says the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we need to be koveya. We need to define who you are. Who are you? What are you? What are we dealing with over here? Because the questions that you ask are relative to who is sitting in front of you. And he says, therefore, these questions define you. They categorize you. Because there are two types of yid. Notice, the Gemara doesn't say, did you learn Torah every day? Of course we learn Torah every day. Who doesn't learn Torah every day? Everybody learns a bit of Torah every day. But that's not what they ask you. They ask you, kavato itim la Torah. Did you have a fixed point in your diary? 8 p.m. is Girshu. That's it. It's kavato, it's fixed. Because there are two types of yid. There is a yid who is kaveya itim la Torah, and there is a yid who is not kaveya itim la Torah. And they are totally different entities. And in Bezdin Shel Mala, first they have to be decide, who are you? What are we dealing with? And that this is one of the things that will define you, L'olam Abba. It defines you. First we work out who are you, what are you, and then the questions will be relevant. And to take this, that's from Rav Moshe Shapira Shlita. To take this a bit further, there's an amazing Oruch L'Ner at the end of Shas. Right at the end of Shas, when it says, Kol Hashena Halochis V'chol Yoy Mutach Leishu Ben Olam Abba. Before we get to the understanding of it, we should first find out how the poskim view this. What does it mean when it says kol hashena halachos b'chol yoyim muvtach leishu ben olam haba? Somebody who learns halachos every day, shenema halichos olam lo. You're all familiar with it. Al tikre halichos el halachos. What does it mean? So you have to look in Hilchos Talmud Torah. What does a yid have to learn? What do you do if you have limited time to learn? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens how you should divide your time. But the Shach over there, in Yerudei Reish Mem Vav, the Shach says as follows. He brings a drisha. He says, Yesh balabatim. There are some balabatim. Noyagim lilmod b'chol yoim gemara pirush rashi toisvus v'loy sha'ar poiskim. There are some people who have limited time to learn, and they use their time to learn Gemara Rashi Tosfos, but they don't bother learning Halacha. And they bring a Raya, because it says, Talud Ve'eliyol, Kol Hashen Halachos B'chol Yoyim, Muvtach Leishu Ben Olam Haba. That's their proof. They don't learn Halacha L'maisa, they learn Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and they say they bring a Raya, Kol Hashen Halachos B'chol Yoyim, and they're expecting to be given VIP treatment to walk straight into Olam Haba. Says the Shach. Avoli nira, sheyesh lilmud sifrei haposkim dinei haTorah. You have to learn the halachas. He says they've misunderstood, It means, and he speaks it out very clearly. Yesh lilmed sifrei hapoiskim dinei hatoira k'may harif madcha v'harosh v'doimeyen d'zehu shoyresh v'ikur l'ikur l'toiraseinu. This is the root and the main point of our Torah. V'einam yotzim klal. They're not yotza when they just learn Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Avetonad ve'eliyo k'vakosav Rashi shom. Rashi says over there, what does it mean? Hashen halachos pirush halachos psukos. It means halachos psukos. So the first thing you need to know that what you're doing, first of all, you're defining who you are, so that when you get to the Olam HaEmes, immediately they say, make way. A Yid is coming who is koveya itim laTorah. It's a different category altogether. And secondly, you come into a different category of being muvtach leishehu ben olam haba by learning halacha lemaisa, halacha psuka, not just Gemara Rashi. Of course, we have to learn Gemara Rashi Tosfos Savada. But this particular ma'amar, you want to be a muvtach that you're a ben olam haba. That it comes through halachas psukas. Azay paskin the shach, as the shach paskins in Hilchas Talmud Torah. Now, let me give you some other another insight. Once upon a time. I once went to Eretz Yisrael many, many years ago at a time when I had a brother-in-law who was living there, and he was quite wealthy. He was quite wealthy brother-in-law. And he said to me before we flew, he said, you'll be met at the airport. Okay, I thought that's very nice. They'll be met at the airport. I thought that would be really, really nice to be met at the airport. So, at the time we took one of our daughter's with us, and she was only a few months old, very a young baby, so you know, balagan, you wait for the agala, for the buggy to come. We're getting off the plane, so with a baby, it's like getting off the plane, there's a rule, either the first or the last, in between, teichnisch. Either you dash for the exit, and you get there the first, or you're the last. In between, you just end up being frustrated. So we were the last, and we're waiting, I'll get to the top of the plane, and there's a fellow standing there with the buggy. I said, that's very kind of you. How did you know it was ours? Shirut VIP. He said to me, you don't speak Ivrit. Shirut VIP. So that's very nice. I don't know what that quite means, but I'm happy to go along with it. I had no idea what was going on. He takes us down. We go down the thing. And we go through some sort of fast lane, through the passport, through security. He gets our luggage, takes us into a beautiful limousine-type van, and we're out. The entire thing, mitchilav ad sof, maybe 12 minutes, 15 minutes. Straight through. You know, one of the worst things is when you arrive at 4 o'clock in the morning in Eretz Yisrael at the same time that three planes have come in from America and two from Russia, and you stand there in that long thing for an hour. Oh, I've just sat for 5.5 hours on the plane. you want to get ready to my home, my hotel. I want to go see the coastal. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. No. Says the Aruch Lener, Moiradik. Listen to this. I'll read and translate. He says it a lot better than I can. He says, "Bebir drosha zu yeshleima." What does it mean? Muvtach leishehu ben olam haba. Somebody, we've already seen the definition. The Shach has told us it means somebody who learns halacha lemaisa. What does it mean to be a ben olam haba? Kvarbir razal chazal say, because kol yisrael yeshem chelik olam haba. Every year has got a chelik in olam haba. It doesn't say that you have a chelik. He says, "I feel a chasidu yomas olam." Even the righteous Gentiles can also have a chelik in olam haba. Aval a chiluku sheolam haba la yusag a rakachat siruf kazav v'kesef mikol suge yitzahara v'chatoy olam hazeh. You think you get to olam haba so quickly, so easily? Oyvei, the stuff we have to go through first, and it isn't always very pleasant. Aval mi shenem haboy shehu ben olam haba yincha el haolam haba bekalus miyad kasheyetzem olam hazeh. Says the Aruch Lener. And when you go there, remember you say, "I have an aruch, I have a via shehut VIP meha aruch lener soif shas." The aruch lener shamayim is very big. You'll get straight through. That's what he's saying. He says that somebody who is a ben olam haba, you get olam haba bekalus miyad kasheitzem olam hazeh. Immediately you come out to olam hazeh. You go there b'derech yosha yoylich oisay Hashem l'sham. No shehut VIP. The Rabban Shalom himself will be there at the gate to greet you. Yoylich oisay Hashem l'sham v'zein in halichos. You go straight. Al tikra halichos al halachos de bezen nivdal halacha mishak levatariyot shal gemara. He says that's the difference between that and the difficulty we all know. Learning a sugi is difficult. Do you get to the MS? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You try. Is that the right pshat in Tosfos? Who knows? Of course you get schar because you're trying to learn. But is it halacha? Is it right? Who knows? Maybe you got right pshat, maybe you didn't. But you have Rabbi Patkus. And you have the Chofetz Chaim. Of course you've got the emes. You get it straight away. It's alichos, alochos, it's gleich. You go straight through that VIP channel. You get straight to the emes. Aval ha-halocha hu ha-emes kayim lo'ad. Mimela, he says, when you get to Shamayim, you absolutely get the VIP treatment. So what have we seen? We've seen what an amazing thing that you're doing. First of all, you're turning yourself into a different type of yid. There are two yidden. There's a yid that is not keveya itim, and there's a yid that is keveya itim. You are clearly, because this is every day, there's no messing around, you are keveya itim. So first of all, you're a different type of yid altogether. Secondly, you definitely fall into the category, according to the shach, of kol hashena halochas b'chol yeh muvtach leh shebein olam haba, refers specifically to halochas psukos, specifically. And thirdly, you have a VIP pass from the Aruch Lener, from the Rabbeinu Shlalim himself. The limud should go gleich, it should go easily, you should learn amazingly and become Talmidei Chachamim who know halacha, know halacha properly, and we know what to do, what not to do. It should all go well. But Hatzlacha, Rabba.
Ah, beautiful divrei psicha. Just before we do our part for Olam Haba, just I have over here two. Whoever hasn't registered for the free Deal Should Digest, here's the email address if you want to email. Many of us get already the daily digest because this is of course international, and you can just register. You get daily digest. There's two. There's one in Hebrew, and this is the. If you want to register for the English ones, this is the email address. Finally, if anybody hasn't got the text messages for this particular shiur and wants to register for the text messages, I've got the number here as well, so if you just want to pass it around. Okay. We are in Hilchas, Hanukkas, Odom HaBoikas, Simon Aleph. Before we proceed with Siv Beis, which is going to be today's limud, the Mishneh Berurah in Bi'alocha speaks about the six mitzvahs tmidiyos. Something which is a very interesting concept. There's six mitzvahs which are our obligation to be constantly and at all times be thinking about. Six mitzvahs tmidiyos. In the Bi'alocha, it brings them, and I want to briefly go through them. Mr. Chofetz Chaim mentioned it over here for a reason. These are six mitzvahs a person should think about at all times. This is how the Chofetz Chaim said. That's how we fulfill Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Somet that the Rama mentions here. Shivisa Hashem, we should be concentrated and focused towards the Ribbono Shel Olam with six mitzvahs. What are the six mitzvahs that one person should think about? Aleph is Le'amin Shesh Eloika Echad Ba'olam Shim Tziz Kolam Tzois. First and foremost, we have to believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and He's here, and He's the one who created the world. That's the first mitzvah we have to believe in. This, and at the same time. Is also the obligation that we have to remember Shehoitzionim Mitzrayim has taken us out of Egypt and Oslan is the Torah and He gave us the Torah. This is a positive mitzvah to remember at all times. Beis is closely connected but yet slightly different. Shehoitzionim B'Shum Elohim Zolosoi. That we, besides the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no other power, no other koyach besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the second of the six mitzvahs tmidiyos. And there's no other power in koyach, as the Chofetz Chaim puts it. Ein l'shum nivro, no other creation has got koyach, has got power. Last is dovor, built the Ribbono. There's no other power and authority besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the second one. The third one, at the bottom of the page, is liachdoi, to be miyached the Ribbono Shel Olam. As we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That He is the one that mashkiach b'chol olam, He oversees and sees everything that happens in all the world. The fourth of the six mitzvot tmidiyos is to love Hashem. Le'ov amokim b'ruchu. The Chofetz Chaim says, how do we actually get to love the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is by thinking about what He has given us. Everything that means anything to us. Our families, our wealth, everything that we have got that means anything to us are things that Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. And this is, once we think about this, it enables us to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is number the fourth. The fifth is to have to fear the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yiras Hashem Yisbarach upon of Tomid. Levilt Yachtim Shel Fear Hashem at all times. Think that we have the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to think before we act. As opposed to the other way around. And number six of the six mitzvot tmidiyos is Shloim Nosu Acham Achshavas Alev V'Yasenayim. We shouldn't just follow our eyes and our heart. We should control our Yetzirah, and we should be able to control our actions. This is the six mitzvot tmidiyos of the Bialoch over here. There's, in fact, understand this, Harav Agon, Reb Yitzchak Berkowitz, I believe, wrote a whole book about this. I forgot what the name of the book, an art school, a book about the six mitzvot midyos. I think they're not so well known. And it's all based on this Bialoch over here, which of course brings it from earlier poskim. But this is an important concept that we should remember at all times, the six mitzvot midyos. Before I continue with the continuation of Seif Aleph, I just want to point out and announce that this year is the Refuah Shleimah of Chana Bas Rochel. I've failed to mention this at the beginning of the shir. So this shir should be the Refuah Shleimah of Chana Bas Rochel, the Refuah Shleimah. So the top of the page, the Ramah continues and says the following. Lo yizbayesh mipnei bnei odom. A person should not be embarrassed in front of other people. Hamaligim olav, who make fun of him, but avoid his Hashem. If a person keeps some halachas which others don't, a person shouldn't, and he fears that people are going to make fun of him. He shouldn't be worried about that. Lo yizbayesh, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed of keeping mitzvahs. Gam be'atznei alechas, and continues the Ramah, gam be'atznei alechas, also when you are in private, in privacy, when you are on your own in your bed, yeida, you should remember, lifnei mi u'shoichev, before me are you lying? Days the Ribbono Shel Olam is here. Umiyad sheyom mishnosoi, and immediately when a person wakes up, yokum bezrizus, you wake up bezrizus. You should hurry up to get up in the morning, lavoidas boiroi, to serve Hashem yizbarach v'yizalem. These are the words of the Ramah. The Mishneh Berurah mentions in Zif Cotton, and the Mishneh Berurah mentions in Zif Cotton, hey, Mipnei Bnei Odom, a person shouldn't be afraid and ashamed of people. Mipnei Bnei Odom. It says in the Mishneh Berurah, I'll call upon him at the very least, Lo Yiskoite Dimohem. Don't go into a discussion with people. If you feel you are doing something which is right and they are starting to shtech you, to make fun of you, to take you a little bit don't go into conversation. Don't be proud of what you're doing and don't allow yourself to go into conversation. Of course, if somebody's trying to understand and wants to know, that's a different matter altogether. But if somebody you know that is just trying to make fun of you, just ignore it at the very least. So don't allow yourself to go into a machloikas. The Sifkotten Vav brings a fascinating concept in Mishneh Berurah. Maligim olav, people making fun. Says the Chofetz Chaim, a murdering concept over here. V'chein imuodom beinoni. If a person is a normal type of person, oimeid, who stands bim koim gedoilim, in a place where there are people who are far greater than him in Torah and mitzvahs. So you're standing amongst gedoilim. Lo yispaish mehem lilmoid v'lasos ha-mitzvah. So there are people who are greater than you. People are greater than you in Torah and mitzvahs, and you're standing among, and you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Do not be afraid. Don't be ashamed to learn from them. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You know, don't pretend you know it all. Don't pretend you're all. Just look at them. It's nothing wrong with it if you feel a bit uncomfortable. V'lasos ha-mitzvah. But then carries on. The Chofetz Chaim, and he discussed the following shaila. When you're doing a mitzvah, another way around, in another type of situation, if you're doing a mitzvah that others don't necessarily know, are you better off? What is the right approach? Are you better? Is the right approach to do it prominently, publicly, or should you rather do it in privacy, unbeknownst to others, that people shouldn't realize you're keeping some addition, maybe chumras, or maybe mitzvahs that others don't keep? Is it better to do it publicly with a waving your flag? Or is it better to do it quietly without anybody noticing you're doing that particular mitzvah? What is the general approach of a yid? Rabbosai. Hatznei alaches, im Hashem alaykecha. Do it privately. Does everybody agree to that? Yeah. Yes, privately. Don't show off what you're doing. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the rule is as follows. Achim efshaloi lasos hamitzvah shaloi bifneim tov yoisa. Generally speaking, if you can do a mitzvah that people don't realize you're doing a mitzvah, that's the best. However, umiyu bifnei beinonim sheyilim dumimenu, that if you are standing amongst people that you feel they will learn and they'll be lifted and they'll be encouraged to mitzvah by you doing a mitzvah publicly, then you should do it. You should rather do it in front of them publicly. Now, you should do it in order to enable them to learn them, to teach them how to do it the right way. If you do it publicly, and people will notice that you're doing certain mitzvah, certain chumrah. Then you know they're going to learn something out of it, then you're allowed to do it. It's the right way to do it publicly. But that's only providing you're doing Lashem Shemaim. You feel you're doing Lashem Shemaim, you're not doing it to show off. Look how great I am. You see, that chumrah you don't keep yet. Look at me. If you're doing that, that's not the right, better not to do it. But if but generally, yes, if you feel people will be inspired, people will be taught by all you're doing, it's fine to do that.
How do you learn
the Mishnah Berurah? How would you learn? Ach yichaven libo l'shamayim v'loy l'ispay chalila. How would you learn that? Yeah, la'av reisha sefer. It sounds like, I mean, the way I understand it, and please, I have a feeling it says that as long as you've got a kavon l'shem shamayim, it's fine. Yeah. I heard this once from a gadol in Eretz Yisrael as well. If you've got a kavon l'shem shamayim, that would allow a person to do that. The truth is that many kedoilim and tzaddikim, it's known that Heilig Chassam Sofer has a beautiful letter, was written by his son. Reb Shimon Sofer, he was himself a gadol, he was the Rav in Mattersdorf, and he was a mamash, a gewaldige Talmid Chacham, and a gewaldige Rav. He was asked by one of his nephews, in fact, please can you tell us about your Heilige Father? Can you tell us a little bit about him? We don't know much about him. Can you describe him? Then he said something unbelievable in the letter. He said, you know what, I want to tell you something. Anybody that would watch him wouldn't notice anything special about him. He kept all the chumos you can imagine. He kept all the chumos you can even think and you can't think of. But nobody would notice it. Nobody would notice it. Once you knew Shas and Poiskim and you'd investigate and observe closely and thoroughly, you'd notice all the chumras. But he was so particular that people shouldn't see and shouldn't think and shouldn't say about him. So everything was mamash done, be'atznei aleches, in privacy. Chumras weren't for others. Chumras weren't for, it was just for himself. This is what I mean. Also, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes about his Rebbe, the Heilige Vilna Gaon. He said that he did everything, but everything was so secret. Everything was such a secret. We all know the Heilige Gaon with all these unbelievable chumras and akpodas and the tzitkas and chsidas of the Heilige Vilna Gaon. But he wasn't visible to others. The way the Chassam Sofer son describes it, he looked, when he davened, he looked like a simple farmer. Like a simple farmer he looked. There was no difference between him and a simple farmer in Shul. There was no difference at all. No showing off. No nothing at all. But that was a godless on top of the godless, that you wouldn't be able to see it. Yes. Good question. I'm putting them together. It's true that the Chofetz Chaim is only speaking, he's only actually addressing mitzvahs, but Poskim, you're right, he's actually only talking about mitzvahs. Yeah, but I'm extending that. Right. It would go in that category as well. Although there is an additional element of the Amen as well. So there's an additional element. Right. Okay, when we get to Lachas Brachas, okay, that's with regards to that point of it that the Chofetz Chaim makes. The Shulchan, the Ramah said, I want you to get up Bezrizes. Bezrizes, I want you to jump out. Does he really mean we should jump out of bed? I mean, jump out of bed? Is that what we should do? Just jump out of bed? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Ches. He says, not quiet. Lav Dafka. Don't actually physically jump out of bed if anybody ever jumped out of bed. So you don't have to. Lav Dafka. Lo yishe me'at v'lo yamid pisoim. Do you have to wait 1 second? Lishe me'at. Wait one second
I'm careful not to say a minute, because what happens if you wait a minute? Yeah. So Yishe Me'at, wait a little bit. V'lo Yamud Pesam, don't just jump out of bed. And Mishnebura said this, the Gemara, ki ze mazik laguf, it's not healthy. To physically jump out of bed is not healthy. So don't physically jump out of bed, just wait a second and then proceed. And then of course comes the halacha straight to as we wake up. We all of course know, toiv lo imatecha v'kumoi, when a person wakes up, she moide ani, lefonecha, I thank you before. We all say Moedani. Interestingly, what about women? What's the nusach of women? What do women say? Also Moedani, who is into TikTok and who knows what his wife says? Right, with the comments. Moeda. Mishlibur doesn't say it, although it's, I think, most Sidurim nowadays have also Moida and Moida, right? I think most Sidurim have it for, you know, women rights, of course. I think many do, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't actually say it. But the post gives interesting. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say anything about Moida, but that's what generally people say nowadays, and that's the, if I may say, the consensus of the post scheme that women do say Moida because it's grammatically more correct for a Loshon Nekeva, and that is what I think all the women say. Moida, do you need to wash negel vasa for that? To say moed ani? No, Mishnah Berurah concludes in the end of this sif cotton, and tzorich lazen etil as yudayim, fe'af im yodov metunofois, whatever happened to the hands during the night, you don't need to have washed negel vasa to say moed ani. As soon as you wake up, you say moed ani, and you don't have to wash negel vasa for that. Let us continue with Siv Gimel. Roy lechol adam yirei shemaim. Any person who has got yirei shemaim, it is appropriate for him she meitzar v'doig al chorban beis hamikdash. Shulchan Aruch says over here in Siv Gimel, it's appropriate for a person who has got yirei shemaim to be meitzar and doig al chorban and to be bothered and to be disturbed about the chorban abayis. What the Shulchan Aruch is referring to over here is tikkun chatzos. Now, some chassidim and tzaddikim and anshei ma'aseh, they say tikkun chatzos every night, or at some nights, many nights. Pardon? Oh, I'm so sorry. I realized something was... Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Thank you so much for pointing out. Thank you. Hamashkim le'ischanin lifnei boiroi. A person who wakes up to... Hamashkim le'ischanin to daven in front of the Ribbono shel Olam. Yechave le'shois shemishtanos hamishmorois. We all know that night is divided into three parts. Based on the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash, there was three watches that the Beis HaMikdash was always watched and guarded. Not so much for security reasons, but much more, as the Mefarshim explained, Maseches Midas, much more for covered, it's respectful. Like we know, Lehavdil, Buckingham Palace, I don't even know, is it 24, is it guarded at all times? Is it guarded at all times? Yeah, it is guarded at all times, yeah. So not so much for the same was the Beis HaMikdash, is guarded at all times by Koyanim. There were specific points, as discussed in the Mishnah, specific points where the Mishmor is, where the guards stand. That was not for security. There was nothing to, I mean, there was valuable items there, of course, but it wasn't for security. Nobody would come and start stealing the menorah. It wasn't the point. The point was for tiferes of the Beis HaMikdash, it's being guarded at all times. Now, during the night, the night was divided into three watches, three shifts. The night was divided into three mishmorois. And from that's where the idea comes from, that the night is divided into three. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Hamashkim leischanan lifnei boiroi, yichav leshois shemishtanos hamishmorois. You should time it according to the three mishmorois. Shem b'shlish alaylo. Either the third part of the night, ulesoif shnei shlish alaylo, or at the second mishmor, the second third of the night, ulevasoif alaylo, or at the third of the night. Shat finish is spal b'oys and ashois, because if you daven at any of the three change of mishmor, any of those three times, then alachub malagoyz retsuya, that is a very good time, a perfect timing to daven for the Chorban HaBayis, or on the contrary, for the Geula. So if somebody does daven in the middle of the night and he's bothered about the Chorban HaBayis, the ideal times to do it is as these three Mishmoris start. And we'll continue with Hashem tomorrow.